primarily people don't want to believe that the world is going to the proverbial hell in a handbasket. People would like to believe that it's a nice, comfortable world and it will remain so. Another major factor would be the small number of people who have been quite influential in denying science, especially the science in relation to climate change recently. But those same individuals have previously adopted similar denialistic approaches with regard to the risk of smoking, problems with the hole in the ozone layer, and other similar things. It seems they're like just professional denialists.
So I'll just go back to what you, the first reason you said that people don't want to believe there's this global change happening. Why do you think that is? Why do we feel so separate from it?
It's the old head-in-the-sand approach. No one wants to believe that there's a problem for anything. When problems arise, the preferred stance of everybody, including me, is to say, no, it's not really a problem. I don't have to worry about it. If it is a problem, it'll go away. I don't need to think about it. You know, so I think people have that pretty much well ingrained into their personas.
I guess in Australia as well, we're so used to extreme weather, like bushfires, big storms. I guess hearing predictions that there's going to be more of that doesn't really faze us. Do you think that's part of it?
Well, it's also hard to experience long-term changes in the climate. It requires a long-term perspective and a long-term set of experiences. And we humans might notice, okay, well, this year's been particularly warm. We can also notice possibly next year or a year or two ago that it was cooler. So it's hard to integrate those kinds of experiences. It takes something more dramatic. For example, not something we can all go out and see, but we can all hear about, would be the melting Antarctic ice. And that's clearly happening. We can also see the rising sea levels. So those kinds of things people do relate to, but they're rare for most people, and so they don't count across the board.
Yeah, and you said the other reason people aren't receiving the message is because of an anti-climate lobby. Do you think that's accurate?
Oh, absolutely. There's been a book written about that sort of thing called The Merchants of Doubt. There are people out there who are professional denialists who make a living out of peddling, and I mean, peddling is probably the right word, peddling doubt about the kind of science that's important and is telling us about climate change.
One of the interesting things about that book as well was the way the media was implicated in it too. So even though there's agreement in the science community that there's man-made climate change happening, the media would still want to represent the other side of that debate by getting one of the 1% and showing that as if it's an even debate.
Yeah, one of the television comedians, I think it was John Oliver, he had a program that very much addressed that point. And he would say, look, in fairness, we should make the debate sort of proportional to the amount of data. So he said, well, here I've got two or three people who represent the contrary view that climate change isn't really happening and you humans aren't responsible. But I've also brought in other 97 people. And at that point, 97 people who are kind of looking like scientists marched into the studio. He said, this is what a balanced debate is all about. 3 plus 97. 97 people are trying to speak over the top of 3. It just was a brilliant illustration of how a debate should be properly framed. But as you just said, it isn't. Usually, the media has a mistaken view that a balanced debate means one person from one side and one from the other. And that's just not the way it ought to be.
So do you think then the problem lies also in the message? Is there something wrong about the way scientists are communicating climate messages?
Well, I'm not sure it's so much the message at fault, but the way it's being delivered is a big problem. To a very large extent, we scientists and lots of other people, we are all largely preaching to the already converted. That's great. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy. But we need to be getting converts. Otherwise, we're not going to make a difference. The evidence relating to environmental perturbations, especially climate change, has been growing at an enormous rate, and it's now huge compared to how it was a few years ago. But at the same time, public opinion, while it fluctuates, overall it hasn't changed very much. There's a paradox, if you will, between the growing scientific information and the way people are responding.
Right. I mean, I saw a statistic from the CSIRO, I think it's about 4 years old now, that it said about 45% of Australians are not convinced that climate change is due to man-made factors. How would you even begin to go about communicating that when we've already got all this information that shows you that it is?
Yes, well, I think we have to adopt a whole new strategy. My idea is to, first of all, identify the target audience. And in my mind, the target audience should be senior high school students. And my logic for that is senior high school students are at the point where they're on the threshold of getting jobs, spending money, paying taxes, etc., and most importantly, also on the threshold of voting. And so we can influence that demographic. We can make a huge difference. My vision, my dream, if you will, with apologies to Martin Luther King, is that we find a way of getting our messages out to that target audience. In other words, find a way to get pro-sustainability messages to every senior high school student in the world. But I'm prepared to start with New South Wales.
It's very ambitious.
It is ambitious, and I certainly can't do it on my own. I couldn't even come close.
What do you see as the government's responsibility in this?
I think the government ought to be hugely responsible. But the sad reality is that our elected officials are elected by us. And so politicians aren't going to do the right thing in terms of sustainability or lots of other issues until and unless the general community indicates that that's what is wanted.
It does seem that a lot of the anti-climate messages do come from the right. The former Prime Minister Tony Abbott very famously denies climate change. Do you think this is a political issue in Australia?
The reaction from the far right of politics, I think, comes from a couple of different sources. One very basic source is an insane fear that government regulation is a bad thing and must be avoided at all costs. And yet it seems pretty clear to me that without government regulation, we'll suffer from the famous tragedy of the commons, where everybody will jump in and do what's best for himself or herself, and in the process destroy the common ground that we all share. The other reason why the right wing acts the way it does is because they perceive, probably correctly to a large extent, that they actually have a large level of support. There are lots of people out there who like what right wing politicians have to say.
Regarding your own research, you are primarily an ecologist. What's the mood in your field?
I detect a high level of concern amongst a small number of people. Most of my ecologist colleagues, I think, are just busy doing their research. There are very few ecologists actually out there campaigning for sustainability. Major reason for that comes from understanding sustainability of the scientists themselves. Your average scientist, ecologist or whatever, benefits through publishing articles, getting research grants. Those are the two major things. And way down the list comes things like contributing to the community. Ecologists and other scientists don't benefit personally by campaigning for sustainability.
Right, so academia creates an incentive to produce the data but not to really give you the time to do anything with it.
That's said in a nutshell. That's exactly right.